Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, many people don't understand how central having the King James Version Holy Bible held up as what it truly is, the only Holy Bible, is vital to unity within the faithful remnant body of Christ. Do you remember how Yeshua prayed to the Father for us? Unity and the lack of unity is a very important issue in these last days, especially within those who remain faithful in the midst of this great falling away from the faith. Surely there is something that we can do to promote unity, and indeed holding up the King James Version Bible for what it truly is, the only Holy Bible, would help in that regard. What might we do? As we see such an amazing lack of unity among those calling themselves Christians or Messianic believers. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, and as you think about these words, remember he was sweating blood in agony as he made this prayer to his Father for us. John 17, 21 through 23, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Paul and the other apostles' heart cry was very much the same. 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The heart cry for unity among God's people was consistent from the Bible prophets as well as the apostles. Amos said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Why do we lack this unity today? What is the real root problem? A big part of the problem is doctrinal differences. If doctrine divides, the great joy in great tribulation says fix the doctrine. And that really is the mission and purpose of the great joy in great tribulation. Website, book, and CDs. Some would say there were doctrinal differences big time when Messiah was ministering on earth, and amen. However, Messiah came to tear down the dividing wall of hostility because of the doctrinal differences and the demonic religious spirits. Messiah gave believers power and authority over the devils. Messiah gave us the fullness of the revelation of the love of God through the one whose name is called the Word of God. Messiah baptizes his people with his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and holiness. And therefore, since we have the revelation of the love of God by the Lamb of God who was slain, and since we have been given power and authority over the devils, and since we have the perfected and final purified Holy Bible, and since we have the Holy Spirit of truth, are we without excuse? Let's stop the excuses. Let's stop the rationalizations, and let's stop the blame shifting and self-justifications. We should make no excuses for doctrinal error, and we should accept no excuses for doctrinal error. We will let the ignorant be ignorant, because that's a command of the Bible. We will let the ignorant be ignorant. However, at the same time, we will cut off occasion of those seeking occasion to promote agendas other than the doctrine of Christ. The place where it must start is being able to do the priest's duty of separating the holy from the profane Bibles. Yes, there can only be one holy Bible, as sure as there is a bunch of modern profane Bibles. The logic of a first grader who has not watched television often is pure and sharp enough to see a real major problem with the very idea of different Bibles not saying exactly the same thing. God is God. God cannot lie, and God does not change. Now, before that agony in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into" how much truth? You know, don't you? Yeah. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." The Spirit of truth is what is missing from the modern translators and the modern translations. I'm going to say it again, and I mean it. And if you have the Spirit of truth and search it out, you will come to that conclusion. The Spirit of truth is what is missing from the modern translators and the modern translations. The Spirit of truth confirms God's faithfulness according to His Word, as found in the only Holy Bible in English, which is perfect and 100% free of error, the Authorized King James Version Holy Bible. No way will the modern translations missing the Spirit of truth guide you into all truth. No way will the modern translations missing the Spirit of truth show you things to come. No, we do not idolize the King James Version Holy Bible. The Spirit of truth simply confirms it is the only Holy Bible in English, which is perfect according to God's promise, by the Spirit of truth being 100% pure truth and free of error. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Doubt is what comes from hearing alternate renderings with or without the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth confirms our authority for the infallible words of the King James Version English Bible. The confirmation is by the Spirit of truth in the power and promise of God to preserve His Word. The Spirit of truth confirms God has the power, and the Spirit of truth confirms we have His Word. Some translations from the Greek, in which all of the New Testament was first written, are very ancient. And I tell you, brethren, beware and mark any rabbi claiming the New Testament was first written in any other language other than Greek. The first word Satan ever spoke to a human was, "Yea, hath God said?" That question is designed to destroy faith. And that's exactly what every modern Bible does, whether it is Hebrew rooty-tooted or not. We will take a quick look at just a couple of verses that the modern Bibles have removed. And everyone should understand that verses can be removed by not including them in the Bible. And one should also understand that verses can also be removed by deceiving footnotes, by the deceiving scholars who suffer from not having the Spirit of truth. We're only going to look at two examples which show how the modern versions open the floodgates for doctrinal error and division. In the NIV, one could easily find at least 40 whole verses which have been removed from just the New Testament. And yet, otherwise intelligent people continue having their faith shipwrecked with the modern profane version perversion Bibles. The first one is a big controversy, so I'm going to give you a list of some of the ancient Greek manuscripts and a couple of Greek lectionaries that have 1 John 5:7. And yes, without any doubt, Mark 16:9 through 20 belongs in your Holy Bible. Even some of the most famous ancient church father heretics like Origen and Clement of Alexandria and the super damnable heretic Eusebius quoted Mark 16:9 through 20. And that ought to be proof enough that it has always been part of the Holy Bible since the apostles first were inspired to record it in Greek. That verse, 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7 is found in Greek manuscripts Codex E from 735 AD, Codex Rabanus, the Weizenburgensis from the 8th century, Codex Montefiorinus, from manuscript 61 in about 1250 AD, Codex Britannicus. It's also found in Greek manuscripts 68, Greek manuscript 88, Omega 110, Omega 221, Greek manuscript 429, Greek manuscript 635, 636, 629, 918, and 2318. There are translations from Greek to other languages containing 1 John 5:7 all the way back to the 2nd century, like the Waldensian, which later became the Vaudois, and one also finds it in the complete Hebrew Bible translated into Syriac, which was later called the Peshitta. Here's another important 11 verses that you simply do not find in the NASB, the NIV, the NKJV, the RSV, the NRSV, or the NCV, or the Living Bible. Understand now, brethren, that removal by footnotes is every bit as effective at destroying faith as removal of the verse. In some respects, it could even be more so. Yes, if you are a believer, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be believed. And you have a profane Bible if it would lead you to believe that this is not the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16:9 through 20. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That, brethren, should be in your Bible, if you have a Holy Bible. It will be. Now it's time for Jim Searcy to publicly repent of something. In the last series of articles about why the King James Version is the only Holy Bible, I made a number of references to FUDs, THUDs, and DUDs. And I need to repent of that. I do repent of that, and I do humbly ask forgiveness of any PhD or DD or THD whom I may have offended. I also repent of that bad example before the brethren. I ask forgiveness of anyone who did read the articles and have any lower level of respect for anyone with a doctor's degree. I have changed the offensive phrase to deceived, deceiving scholars. We're commanded to study things out, brethren. There have been some honest scholars with the Holy Spirit of truth who have searched out things which none of us could search out. All the body of Messiah is indebted to such scholars when they have integrity and the spirit of truth, like Dr. Frank Logsdon and V.F. Scrivener. Before he died, he made the truth be known of what the horrible depths of corruption is at the root of all these modern Bibles. And the question always remains, however, have we studied to show ourselves approved unto God or unto men? 2 Timothy 2:15. It is a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, having said that, and the repentance is genuine, nevertheless, I still must admonish any person who would presume to enter a pulpit or teach God's people with a profane Bible. Any who do that may be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the simple duty, to speak the truth in love. Such ministers must now heed the admonitions of Revelation 22:19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And James 3:1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the duty of love, all such ministers should be admonished to remove any and all profane scripture references and citations from your messages, and to put them in the King James Version citations. We have only one way to prove truth, and that is from the only book that has the Spirit of truth confirming that it is the Holy Bible. To lead any child of God away from that truth by pride or greed, or even simple ignorance, could bring one under the judgment of Revelation 22:19 and James 3:1. And Acts 17:30-31 says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Even though these are perilous times, days of strong delusion, deception, false doctrines, great tribulation, and antichrist oppression, they're filled with great opportunity to give glory to the King of Glory. We will soon see the great opportunity to bring souls into his kingdom. The fear of God is coming upon this planet, and we have good news for sinners who will be more and more motivated to seek and find his grace in repentance. In many ways, it is also beginning to become easier for disciples to discern the difference between believers and non-believers. Lord willing, we may soon look at some of the distinguishing characteristics between believers and non-believers. The King of Kings and Great High Priest hath made, past tense, done deal. It is finished. The King of Glory has made us kings and priests unto God. And we just have been considering the first duty of the priest is to separate the holy from the profane Bibles. According to the Spirit of Truth, there is only one Holy Bible, as sure as there are many profane Bibles. And learning to rule is what it is all about. To be a good king, one learns to rule with wisdom and love. And to do that, we do want to study our king, the great King of Kings, the King of Glory, by the Spirit of Truth, from the Word of Truth. The Spirit of Truth confirms our authority for the infallible words of the King James Version Holy Bible. And the confirmation is by the Spirit of Truth in the power and promise of God to preserve and purify His Word. The Spirit of Truth confirms God has the power. And the Spirit of Truth confirms that we have His Word. Now, we need to consider and study what it's all about to be a good king unto God. The King of Glory has made you a king unto God. Yeshua is the image to which we are to be conformed. His perfection is far greater than any sinner can attain unto. Praise the Lord for His mercy. According to what the King of Kings said about David, he was the best king unto God, not counting the King of Glory himself, ever from among men. God said of David that David, the son of Jesse, was a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Why did God say that about David in Acts 13:22? In spite of David's many errors as a human being, why is it that David, King David, found so much favor in the eyes of the Lord? First, it was because David did recognize his own dismal human condition. That recognition of David's own vain, proud sin nature caused David to depend totally upon the mercy of the Lord. David did not trust or depend upon his own righteousness or his own good works. In the great falling away from the faith, where no unity seems to be found, a big part of the reason is people generally miss the second great thing about David. The great thing about David was his very high regard for the divine commandments or law of the Lord. And it is hoped that you see how closely this relates to separating the holy from the profane and doing the duty of a good priest, which is so important for unity. And that priestly duty of separating the holy from the profane, top of the list should be separating the Holy Bible from the profane Bibles. David was totally in love with the Word of God. He knew fully in his heart that whatever God said or did was right. David knew that even if he did not understand it, and even if he was in tribulation or chastisement, God was good, just, righteous, and perfect in allowing it. He knew that God's word was truly infallible and perfect in every way. To be a great king unto God, we should have that same sort of heart attitude, which is disclosed in all the Psalms. Particularly important is Psalm 51, and especially important is Psalm 119. Take heed, King. Yeah, that's you. I'm talking to you. You're a king. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. So take heed there, King. Study the Psalms to know that heart attitude that you must have, which loves the Word of God, the law of God, the royal law of God, and judgment, and even the chastening of the Lord. It begins with learning the fear of the Lord. The only valuable treasure which will endure 100 years from now is the fear of the Lord. That's really the only valuable treasure. The fear of the Lord is His treasure, Isaiah 33:6. Psalm 19:9-10, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is coming upon the earth. I say, avoid the rush. Learn it now. Most are going to be overwhelmed by the fear of the Lord now coming upon the earth. One of the best places one can go to learn the fear of the Lord, and it is learned. We never get enough of this treasure, but one of the best places to learn the fear of the Lord is in Psalms 119, where it becomes obvious why David was a king after God's own heart. How shall we fulfill all God's will, as David's heart was set to do, if we do not know what God said? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Those verses from Psalm 119, verse 9, 11, 105, and 165, we see that the heart of the king, which is after God's own heart, is really disclosed there. The King of Glory hath made us kings and priests unto God. And that should therefore describe our heart, that we delight in the law of God, that we treasure his word above gold and silver. There is another thing which David said in Psalm 138:2 that's also good for kings to memorize and keep it in their understanding. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Brethren, step one to unity and faith is knowing what God said. Thinking we know is not good enough. The only way I know that you know what God said is when you're quoting the only Holy Bible, which has the Spirit of truth. We must be able to battle the devil the way the Lord did by saying, "It is written." It is written. There is only one Holy Bible, and those who have studied to be approved unto God on the subject know that God, by the Spirit of truth, said so. Yes, God said so. It's sad, but it just as well be said. The deceived, deceiving scholars suffer from not having the Spirit of truth. That deprivation may be very subtly transferred to those who would read their alternate renderings and missing the things which they have removed from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Doubt is what comes from hearing alternate renderings with or without the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth confirms our authority for the infallible words of the King James Version English Bible. The confirmation is by the Spirit of truth in the power and promise of God to preserve his word. I'm going to say it again. The confirmation is by the Spirit of truth in the power and promise of God to preserve his word. The Spirit of truth confirms God has the power. And the Spirit of truth confirms that we have his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. And his name is called the Word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There basically are only two foundations that Bible translations have been built upon. It's either the foundation of faith or the foundation of doubt. God inspired the original writings of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:20, 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, they did not originate with man. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God has promised, and God has performed His promise, to preserve His words in the copies of those original writings in the Hebrew Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the received text, the Textus Receptus of the New Testament. By faith, we know by the Spirit of truth. These same things will be confirmed by those researching the truth who have that same Spirit of truth. We know by faith and by faithful study to be approved unto God, regardless of what the faithless men without the Spirit of truth may say. We know that the God who inspired the original written record of His Word can and did preserve them, and even finally purify them, so that we can say, "Thus saith the Lord, this is the Word of God," when we hold up our King James Version Holy Bible. If we believe that the original writings of the Scriptures were verbally inspired by God, then we must believe that they have been preserved by God through the ages, because God promised He would preserve His Word forever. Faith and faithful study must and will conclude that the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek is inspired by God. That same faith and faithful study always verifies that according to God's promise, the Word of God has been preserved and kept pure in all ages. It is only in the last century that born-again Christians have believed anything else. Only in the last century. This is a modern phenomena. The modern profane Bibles truly are a modern phenomena. It's only been in the last 100 years, brethren, in the whole history of the church, that we've had this foolishness. The Bible clearly teaches that God would inspire and preserve His Word. It is written. It is written, the Lord did say when He was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:4. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly quoted Moses and what Moses had written, because He is the one who told Moses what to write. There is good reason to ask those who mock, scoff, and try to humiliate the King James only Holy Bible believers this simple question: do you want to live today? Because the Lord said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. You see? So it is a very good, honest, logical, and straightforward question to ask these people who are mocking and scoffing and trying to humiliate the King James Version only Holy Bible believers: do you want to live? Today, it's simply impossible to get every word of God from any other English Bible than the King James Version Holy Bible. Why? Because the Greek New Testament perversion of Westcott and Hort and the Greek text used by all English Bibles since the KJV. That Greek New Testament perversion by Westcott and Hort has 5,337 deletions. Yes. That Greek New Testament perversion by Westcott and Hort has 5,337 deletions. And that's according to Dr. F.H.A. Scrivener, the only fundamentalist who stayed on that version perversion board. Before he died, Dr. Scrivener broke the secrecy oath because he felt he had to let the world know that they had, by his count, 5,337 deletions in that perverted text. That particular Greek text is now used by all Bibles since 1611 to greater or lesser extents. Today, there really are only two choices of Bibles: the King James Version Holy Bible with every word and the Spirit of truth, or the profane modern Bibles without every word, with 5,337 deletions from the New Testament, based on a perversion with something like 5,337 seven deletions in its New Testament. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Luke 16:17. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. What God has promised to do, he will do. We have his final promised, purified seven times word, because we have God's promise, and God has the power. It makes no difference how the deceived, deceiving scholars mock, scoff, and scorn with their vain form of godliness, which denies the power thereof. I will tell you that it really is not possible to teach deliverance and spiritual warfare from any Bible other than the King James Version Holy Bible. The deceived, deceiving scholars will not have the necessary power given to the believer to cast out devils, to heal the sick, with their profane Bibles. The only Bible the devil fears is the King James Version Holy Bible. In recent years, it has literally been swept from the continent of Europe. Just see how easy it is to find a KJV Bible nowadays. I'm not talking about a new King James Version. See how easy it is to find a King James Version Holy Bible in your local bookstore. I think you might be shocked. You may be surprised to see how difficult it is to find a King James Version Holy Bible in this Antichrist world today. Dr. Bruce Metzger, professor and textual critic, and whenever they say textual critic, watch out, of Princeton University, is the man behind the Greek text that is used in translating the modern versions of the Bible. According to Metzger, this is a direct quote, "We took as our base at the beginning the text of Westcott and Hort, and introduced changes as seemed necessary on the basis of manuscript evidence." There you have it. And the Greek text founded upon the work of unsaved Luciferian occultists. That's the base Greek text now used in all modern Bibles since the King James Version of 1611. These two guys, Westcott and Hort, on the basis of absolutely no evidence, Westcott and Hort speculated. That's what they did. Westcott and Hort speculated that God did not and could not keep his promise. Yeah. I'm not joking you. I know you think it sounds like a joke, but this is dead serious, brethren. On the basis of no evidence, Westcott and Hort speculated that God did not and God could not keep his promise. That was their faith, brethren. That's about as faithless as you get. And you're trusting your souls to these guys if you're not using a King James Version Holy Bible, or if you're listening to a preacher that gets into a pulpit with a Bible other than the King James Version Holy Bible. I'm sorry, that's going to offend a lot of people, but wouldn't you rather be offended than go to hell? This is serious, brethren. This is what these men actually did. On the basis of no evidence, Westcott and Hort speculated that God did not and God could not keep his promise. That's who you're trusting your soul to. They figured God did not keep his word to his people for at least 1500 years. These faithless, deceiving scholars speculated that the pure text of the New Testament had been lost for at least 1500 years. These faithless, deceiving scholars speculated that the pure text of the New Testament had been lost at least that long. Garbage, faithless garbage, rot, to subtly play upon the vanity of the saints who do not have the spirit of truth or have not studied to show themselves approved unto God on the subject. People can come to only one of two possible conclusions, the Holy Bible or profane Bibles. The King James Version being the only Holy Bible will be the conclusion of those who have enough of the spirit of truth to hear the voice of God. The same conclusion would also be reached by study which would have one approved unto God. Stand, you faithful saints, stand. Hear his voice speaking in Matthew 5, 11, and 12 when the high pocket puffery practitioners mock, scoff, and scorn at the sure and certain foundation of your faith. God said so, and we know so by the Spirit of truth, and this is truly missing from the modern version, perversion, profane Bibles. Really, the choice is between Westcott and Hort or Erasmus. It really boils down to that. So let me just close with a quote from Westcott and Hort and two from Erasmus. Brooke Foss Westcott said, "I reject the word infallibility of the Holy Scriptures overwhelmingly." Yeah, you can find that in the Life and Letters of Brooke Foss Westcott on page 207. And John Anthony Hort said, "But I am not able to go as far as you in asserting absolute infallibility of a canonical writing." Yeah, that's what he said to Westcott. He couldn't go as far as Westcott even. Now, here's what Erasmus wrote. "Christ Jesus is the true light, alone shattering the night of earthly folly. The splendor of paternal glory, who, as he was, made redemption and justification for us reborn in him. So also was made wisdom, as Paul testifies. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to them that are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." You can find that from Advocates of Reform, from Wycliffe to Erasmus, Matthew Sprinka on page 309. And then here's a final quote from Erasmus. "Therefore, if you will dedicate yourself wholly to the study of the Scriptures, if you will meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you will not be afraid of the terror of the night or of the day, but you will be fortified and trained against every onslaught of the enemy." And that's again from Advocates of Reform, from Wycliffe to Erasmus, in page 304, by way of Sorensen, from "Touch Not the Unclean Thing." Brethren, convincing the deceived, deceiving scholars is not easy, because verses like I'm going to give you to close this are not in their Bibles. No, these verses that you're about to hear are just simply not in the Bibles of these deceiving, deceived scholars. Yes, it's true. These verses are completely removed from their Bibles. The one that says in Matthew 23:14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." No wonder that's not in their Bible. This is not in their Bible either. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." It's not in their Bible. See why it's so difficult to convince these guys? This is not in their Bible either. But they better pay attention. "Where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched." Yeah, that's Mark 9:44, not in their Bible. Mark 9:46, not in their Bible. "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Mark 11:26 is not in their Bible, but it's in ours. So let's remember this one, Mark 11:26. It's not in their Bible, but it's in ours. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Brethren, pray for them, but don't try to strive with them. Most of them simply do not have ears to hear. Most of them get hardened when you give them the truth. That's a sad reality, but that's just what happens. It's a sign of the times. Glory to God anyhow. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Yeshua.